Hey, Carl.
Yes.
Now, there's an interesting article, an interesting comment from our next guest. Here's the question. Are the Democrats on a road to nowhere because this gentleman believes, and he gives three reasons for a possible demise about the Democrats? And I'm talking about John Horvat II. He's a scholar, a researcher, educator, international speaker, author of Return to Order, From a Frenzied Economy to an Organic Christian Society, Where We've Been, How We Got There, Where We Need to Go. His writings have appeared in any number of publications. So with that, it's an introduction to John Horvat. Thank you for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Great to be on the show.
It's our pleasure. Tell me something. Where do you think we stand today politically in America?
Well, I mean, everybody likes to, especially conservatives, they like to bemoan our own problems. But I think the liberal side has a lot of problems. They don't have what the infrastructure or the grassroots that they had before. And I think it's because they've lost the heartland. They've lost the bread and butter Americans, the religious Americans, the patriotic Americans. Their message doesn't resonate anymore with them, and it's showing.
Do you have to be a religious American to be a patriotic American?
No. They don't exclude. One doesn't exclude the other.
Just wanted to make sure there. Just checking.
They're all, I mean, but basically those categories, they're no longer resonating.
Well, why do you think they're floundering?
Well, I mean, the last midterm elections were just a complete disaster. They lost the Senate. The House was strengthened. They lost 910 state legislative seats, 11 governorships, and the Republicans now control both houses and the governorship in 23 states, and the Democrats only in 7. And there's a lot of news going around showing how they have a lot of high-profile figures in the national scene, but as far as the state organizations and grassroots structures, there's nobody coming up. And that's really, that's where the future lies.
Yeah, but the pendulum always swings, obviously, both ways. But when you look at the fact that you've got the Donald out there now leading most of the polls, doesn't that bode well for the liberal faction of American politics?
Well, I don't know. I think that the Donald phenomena is an exercise in anger, of channeling anger, of saying, well, we need a business model to get things done. Let me do it. Let's just sidetrack all the other questions. I think it is a knee jerk reaction, but I don't know how profound it is.
Mr. Horvat, Carl Sabatino here. How are you, sir?
Good, great.
One of the questions that I have, and I have many, but I want to stay focused on this question of getting things done. Understanding both political parties have their problems. They're up and down. They're in. They're out. Organization notwithstanding, and I think the Democrats have a very good organizational structure, as do the Republicans. Mm. What does that all have to do with getting something done in this country? Can you address that, please?
Well, I mean, I think we do definitely need to get things done in the country. We are a polarized nation. But I don't think the business model is the model that we need because what you need to do to get things done is consensus and a certain moral code that will hold people to their agreements, and that I think is what's been eroded a lot, the consensus of America, of what America means, and the moral code that says, well, there are certain rules that need to be followed. There's certain principles that need to be to be established, and those things. That's what is, I think, much, much more important than a business model that says, well, let's just get it done. We don't care how we do it and who we hurt or what kind of principles we employ.
Well, I would agree with you completely. And the last time we applied a business model to the federal government was a man by the name of Calvin Coolidge. Mm. And we know how well that worked.
Right. Exactly.
And that led us to the Great Depression and, in some instances, World War II, whether people want to believe that or not. So the point is that that doesn't work, but we need some kind of organizational structure. Do you see anyone on the horizon, and I'm going to turn this back over to Roland, do you see anyone on the horizon that can do that? Is it Bernie Sanders?
No, definitely not. I definitely disagree with his socialist ideas. I mean, they're just. I think that it's something that's harmful to the country. It's not a, it's a soak the rich, populist program that really is. I don't find it in any way addressing the needs that we have.
Well, there seems to be out there in America today a backlash, a negative feeling. That they don't like the way things, the electorate doesn't like the way things have gone in Washington and elsewhere. Do you see that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it is a rebellion against present structures. You see it all over, not only in government but in education and so many different fields. There is this type of saying, well, it's not working. Let's get rid of it. But it is a very simplified way of looking at it. It really doesn't go into the depth. It just says, well, give me something to grab onto, and I'll grab onto it.
Well, there's something in the literature that your publicist sent out that said, basically, does the Democratic Party need a shakeup, much like traditional conservatives' experience with the rise of the Tea Party? Do you believe that the Tea Party was a shakeup for traditional conservatives?
I definitely think it got people thinking and got went outside the box and pushed the conservative movement rightward. I don't think the Democrats can do that because their grassroots their liberal agenda tends to destroy organizational structures and including their own. I mean, you look at Occupy Wall Street. That would have been an ideal movement to revitalize the Democratic or the liberal agenda, but they're so disorganized they just fell apart.
What about what do you think would happen if Joe Biden got into the race?
Well, Joe Biden is sort of your traditional Democrat. He's the bottom of the last of the line. He's just he's one of those figures that has a certain plays upon the magic of the old Democratic Party, and I think he might have some resonance with a certain sector of it.
If you were to define your political leanings, what would you say?
Well, I'm definitely a conservative and a traditional
American. No, come on, you're kidding me, John. After all,
oh, really?
This conversation.
Say what?
Conservative, traditional. I think we need to go back to the basics of family, faith, and community. That's why my book's about it. It talks about that. Those are the only things that are really going to put America make America great again. You can't legislate, regulate, or stimulate a country into order. You have to use the natural means.
Is it not possible that America might need to think out of the box for the future?
Oh, I think so. I have nothing wrong with thinking out of the box. I don't know what that, it's hard to say right now what that would be, but I think there's definitely room and definitely room on the conservative side especially.
I'm curious, what made you, was there one or two incidences in your life that made you choose to become a conservative?
That's a good question. I've always been a conservative. I grew up on a farm in the Midwest, of Democratic parents, both voted Democratic, but in the 70s, when the Democratic Party lost the heartland, we went along. I mean, the conservative message resonates with me, from day one.
Well, I tell you, I mean, you make a valid case, and I'm anxious to finish reading your book. Is there a website that somebody can go to if they need to or want to?
Absolutely. Go to returntoorder.org, and there's plenty of resources, and, you could just there's actually an offer. We just published the paperback edition. We're offering some free copies there, so if someone wants to pick one up.
And is anything you want to say to all of America who might be listening?
Well, I think, you know, we need to think out of the box. So many times we know what we don't want. We don't want big government. We don't want deficit spending or socialism. We need to think about what we do want. And that's, you know, that's my message. I think we need to think and develop that.
Well, John Horvat II, thank you very much for joining us on Smith-Sabatino. You make an interesting case, and I hope you come back and visit us again after the election so we can talk about what happened.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Very interesting, very interesting. But, and we're going to talk about this in today's – it's actually in part of my notes. Make America great again. I've heard that phrase used now by every other Republican I could find. Make America great again. America is great. I think they're missing the point on that one. Yes, we have our problems. I think they're missing the point. Making America great means that we're not, by the nature of the words.
Yeah,
the
greatness doesn't always mean the sameness.
Exactly. Exactly. But we should talk about that. I want to.
Well, we can.
But that was a good interview. We got to bring him back.
Absolutely.
We got to bring him back.
Absolutely.
John Horvat. All right. I'm moving on. We're getting flagged. He's going crazy in the control room.
All right.
Roland Smith.
Say we'll be right back.
You did.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Is your young child having trouble sleeping through the night? Then let the sense of smell come to the rescue. Here's the science of it. Technically, the sense of smell is called olfaction, and it's so commanding that it goes straight to the part of the brain responsible for processing without a detour. Breastfed infants can identify their moms by smell as early as the sixth day of life. So, use smell to keep your child asleep.
You smell like peanuts. I love peanuts.
Say your child wakes up screaming. Well, after you comfort them, place something in the crib that smells like you. Your nightgown or any piece of clothing.
Ooh, I smell barbecue.
What's the chief psychological trick? The child will sleep through the night because they'll think a significant parent is right there with them. You can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Assigning a nickel's worth of value to bottles and cans did a lot to increase recycling, but even better would be to use fewer containers in the first place. Now people looking for a tasty way to think green may find it in a coffee maker-sized appliance called the Soda Club Penguin, which actually makes carbonated beverages at home. The Penguin pumps a bottle of water full of CO2, after which you can add 20 different flavored syrups, including, of course, diet selections. Best of all, the Soda Penguin doesn't just decrease bottling waste, it also decreases your carbon footprint, because it makes drinks without using either electric or battery power. You can find it at sodaclub.com.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.